And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Friday. Yeah, it's Friday again, Joe.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? I say it every Friday. Can you believe it's Friday again?
first Friday of June.
Yeah.
Probably more importantly, it's the celebration of D-Day.
Yes.
That was the invasion of Normandy, France.
Okay.
And it was according to military history, it was an incredible event.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of little deception involved on our part.
Gotcha.
And I think a little bit of God opening the weather so that our troops could storm the beaches of Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
And can't imagine the horrors that they went through.
No. Something. Really
but,
something.
But it just reminds us that the freedoms that we enjoy today are freedoms that are purchased at a great price.
Yes.
And also reminds us that our freedom in Christ purchased.
Amen.
At a great price on the cross of Calvary.
Absolutely.
Savior gave his life.
Absolutely.
So on this D-Day, remember those who fought. Probably not a lot of those with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But also families affected, I'm sure,
yes.
Still.
Oh, yeah.
And also remember Jesus.
That's right.
And what he did. We should remember that every day.
Every single day. Amen.
It's also, Brian, did you know it's Donut Day?
Donut Day?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is connected with another war. Celebrates the delicious donut and honors the Salvation Army lassies.
Okay.
Who served donuts to soldiers during the First World War.
Okay. All right. Well, they got a delicious treat anyway.
And I think they, as the story goes, and I'm not an expert on it, but as the story goes, they had these hard shell helmets.
Okay.
And they apparently without a liner,
mm-hmm.
and they cooked the donuts in the grease.
Okay.
In one of those
helmets.
And thus they were called Doughboys.
Okay, I got you. That's interesting.
But Salvation Army was involved in that one. So
good deal.
So well, Salvation. When we come back this morning, we're going to be we're beginning a study through the Book of Psalms.
Okay.
And where do you begin if you're studying Psalms?
You got to start number one.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that's a great one to start with.
Oh yeah.
So that's where we're headed this morning, here on Missionary Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Matthew 4:4, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Dr. C.I. Schofield, the eminent Bible teacher, once attended a Bible conference in New York City. The chairman called on another minister to pray. His prayer went something like this, "O thou great and terrible God, great is thy majesty. A great distance separates us from thee. Poor lost sinners that we are, have mercy upon our souls." Dr. Schofield, when the prayer was ended, whispered to another preacher, "Why doesn't someone give the man a New Testament?" I concur. There you will find the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch here on this Friday. And, of course, we're in Psalms.
Yeah, we begin a study today through the Book of Psalms, and we certainly won't cover everything in the Book of Psalms. But Max Lucado introduces the Psalms with these words, "Worship. In 2,000 years, we haven't worked out the kinks. We still struggle for the right words in prayer. We still struggle over the Scripture. We don't know when to kneel. We don't know when to stand. Or I might add, sometimes to sit. We don't know when to raise our hands. And we don't always know how to pray. So worship is a daunting task.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, God gave us the Psalms. They're a praise book for God's people. In fact, some worship actually was singing of
mm-hmm.
the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this collection of hymns and petitions are held together by one thread, a heart hungry for God. And some are defiant, some are reverent. Some are to be sung. Others are to be prayed. Some are intensely personal. Others are written as if the whole world would use them. And some were penned in caves. Others were penned in temples. But all of the Psalms have one purpose, to give us the words to say when we stand before God.
Mm-hmm.
That description reminds me of a conversation I overheard as a boy between my dad and mom and several of dad's siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And though my parents were regarded as the religious fanatics in the bunch, they were talking about the various Psalms.
Yeah.
That this psalm or that psalm was the one that they went to in certain situations to find comfort and to find purpose. One writer observed that the Psalms have been a bedrock of comfort and strength for believers in every experience of life. From the soul-stirring heights of praise to the heart-rending depths of despair, you find that full range of human emotion in these magnificent anthems, the Psalms. And more than any other portion of Scripture, the book of Psalms has influenced the public worship and private devotions of God's people through the centuries, leading them to serve Him more diligently, to love Him more deeply, and to trust Him more fully. I have heard of people who read through the Psalms just about every month.
Mm-hmm.
They read three Psalms a day, since there are 150 of them.
Yes.
Now that would be five Psalms a day.
Yeah. It would take at least five, yeah.
I need to brush up on my math skills.
Well, you're better than me, so.
Five Psalms a day, just as one proverb a day.
Sure, sure.
People read that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a favorite psalm? I can't ask our listening friends this morning, but do you have a favorite psalm, Brian?
Not that I can really think of right offhand.
I know.
I'm sure there's several in there that's really, really good. But
yeah,
and I've read many of them, so you know.
Psalm 23 certainly comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
As a favorite psalm of many, of how the Lord shepherds us.
Oh, yeah.
Through our lives.
Mm-hmm.
There are psalms of God's protection, just a whole lot of basic types of psalms. In fact, somebody characterized these types. They called them wisdom psalms. Like our psalm for this morning, Psalm 1, it provides practical guidelines for godly living. Royal psalms point mm-hmm. to the messianic rule of Christ. Lament psalms. You ever lament?
Now, what exactly does lament mean?
Lament is crying out.
Okay, there you go. Yes, I have.
Lament psalms record the writer's heart cry to God for divine deliverance from trouble and from pain. There are imprecatory psalms. And those psalms I would describe as the God sick 'em.
There you go.
This person is an enemy of mine, an enemy of yours.
Uh-huh.
God sick 'em, take care of 'em.
Yeah.
And you find some of those psalms.
Oh, yeah.
Through the psalms. There are pilgrimage psalms. They are festive or celebrative psalms,
mm-hmm.
Perhaps sung by the Israelites as they traveled up to Jerusalem for special days of worship called Psalms of Ascension, because you were going up in elevation mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they are psalms that prepared the hearts of God's people for corporate worship with the people of God,
mm-hmm.
just as we listen oftentimes to missionary radio on our way to church. It kind of tunes our hearts.
There you go.
To praise our God together. Enthronement psalms describe the majesty of God's sovereign rule and His providential care over His people. And there are also, someone said, penitential psalms. And those are expressions of repentance, of confession, and contrition. A good example would be David's prayer of repentance in mm-hmm. Psalm 51.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the Psalms serve as a hymn book for God's people down through the centuries. So after all that introduction, the psalm chosen for us to study this morning is Psalm 1.
Okay.
And that fits the category of a psalm that teaches us how to live a God-honoring life, a wisdom psalm.
Okay.
And I also found it to be a very evangelistic psalm as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 1 teaches us to make wise choices when we come to the choices of life, to a fork in the road where we must decide which direction to go. You know, Brian, we live in a world of choices.
Yes, we do.
Sometimes we have so many choices that we can't make up our minds.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I thought about a friend we had years ago who was widowed, and his wife did all the grocery shopping for him. He just brought home the bacon, earned a living, and she went to the grocery store and purchased. And even in the realm of cereal, he went to get some cereal.
Yeah.
And he was just taken aback at the variety that he had to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So guess which cereal he chose?
Raisin Bran?
That's it.
Man, I tell you, I'm good.
You were looking at my notes.
No. I promise I was not looking at your notes.
It was the kind of cereal, excuse me, that his wife had chosen for him all those years.
Yeah. Well, now, Raisin Bran's one of my favorites. That's the reason why I said Raisin Bran, so.
Yeah. But he couldn't believe all those options that he encountered, all the flavors and all the brands.
Yeah.
And was a bit overwhelmed, and that was just with cereal.
I know.
And there are times when we face too many choices, and other times we complain, oh, there just aren't enough choices.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had another choice.
Yep.
But when it comes to the most important decision in life and how we will live it, Psalm 1 reminds us that we, in reality, have just two choices, to go God's way or to go our own way.
That's true.
There are only two roads in life, the way of the ungodly and the way of the godly.
Mm-hmm.
And each choice has its own destination. For the godly, that choice to follow God leads to life. It leads to joy. It leads to fruitfulness, to walking with the Lord. Now, if you choose to be ungodly, ultimately, you're choosing death and judgment.
Yes.
So Psalm 1, verse 1, is a warning against choosing the wrong path.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful.
And before we delve into the wrong choices mentioned here, choices to be avoided, let's ponder that word blessed.
Mm-hmm.
The Christian Standard Bible uses the word happy.
Yes.
It is the same word that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes when he said, blessed are you when, and then he named off about 10 or 11 different situations.
Sure.
Happy are you. One paraphrase renders it as, oh, the joy of a person who lives in a manner that chooses God's way and not in the ways of the world. Pastor James Merritt reminds us, contrary to what some people think, God is not some cosmic killjoy who loves it when we're miserable.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
God wants you to be happy.
Amen.
But he wants you to be happy his way.
That's true.
The key to living a happy life is living a God-centered life.
Mm-hmm.
The truly happy person is a person who's living a rooted life, a life of purpose, a life that makes an impact on other lives. And real happiness is found in favoring the right people, following the right principles, and fulfilling God's purpose. So do you want to be miserable?
No.
Well, if you do, live a you-centered life.
Yeah.
Do you want to be happy?
I do.
Live a God-centered life.
Mm-hmm.
So in Psalm 1, verse 1, the writer expresses some choices not to make. First, we are told not to walk in step with the wicked.
Yes.
And some versions stress not taking the advice of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for some good advice, are you going to find it in going to someone who's not walking with the Lord?
You are not.
That's not a good source to go to.
Not a good source to go to at all.
You might get some foolish advice.
Yes.
You know, in order to walk with someone, we have to be heading in the same direction and at the same pace.
Mm-hmm.
I've been walking for exercise for many years now, and my pace I've found is slowing a little bit these days.
Yeah.
But I remember walking with a lady some years ago. She was maybe 20 years older or more than I was.
Yeah.
But she kept the pace of a power walker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was all I could do to keep up.
Now, she didn't carry. Did she have the weights in each hand when she?
No, I don't think so.
So some people, you know, do the weights. You know, the weights in each hand. So.
But it was all I could do to keep up with her, and then she expected me to be carrying on a conversation at the same time.
That's kind of hard.
Well, it was simple for her, but not for me.
Hard for you.
So I confess, since we didn't have the pace in common. Mm-hmm. I kind of avoided walking with her as much as I could.
Oh, me.
We might have had a common destination.
Yeah.
And that's certainly true even more so now that she's with the Lord.
Yeah.
But we didn't walk together much because she walked too fast for me.
Mm-hmm.
What is it the Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3?
Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so?
What do they have to agree on, two people, if they're going to walk together?
That you're going to walk and...
You have to agree on a destination.
Yeah, destination. Yeah, I was trying to think there. Yeah, destination. You put it right in my mouth.
And how fast or slow they're going to walk.
How you going to walk, yeah.
Without being in agreement, it's difficult for two individuals to walk together. So simply put, if we're to live a life that God blesses, we should avoid taking the advice of the wicked. Be a friend to them, yes, so that we might have the opportunity to speak a word for the Lord, but watch out lest their philosophy of life pulls us away from walking with the Lord. So first part of Psalm 1, do not walk in step with the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look a little deeper at standing and sitting after we come back after Pen from the Heart on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, I've been an avid listener for many years. From Katie's, I enjoy your station, listen to it daily, driving to and from work. From an Elkton listener, I enjoy listening. Also from Clarksville, keep up the good work that is being done through this station. And from a Hopkinsville listener, a great station.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Well, we're looking at Psalm 1. We're kind of working our way through verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, take advice from the wicked." And now let's talk about standing in the way that sinners take and sitting in the company of mockers. The next level of keeping company with the wrong people, of getting comfortable hanging out with the wrong crowd, is standing in the way with sinners.
Mm-hmm.
What's the danger of hanging out with the wrong crowd? See what advice your mother gave you, Brian.
Well, hanging out with the wrong crowd will definitely get you sometimes in trouble, will cause you to do things that you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Here a little example. I know back years ago when I went out of radio for a little bit and worked for another place for about 2 months, and just hanging around with those folks, none of them was Christians. So the dirty jokes was being told and the cussing and all that stuff. And, you know, it rubs off on you. I don't care who you are. It just rubs off. You try to stay away from it, but you work with those people every day.
Yep, yep.
So it makes it hard sometimes, but we got to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We have to watch out for the danger being drawn into the lifestyle of rejecting God and choosing sin. That's standing in the way that sinners take.
Yes.
Nor should we, if we want to be blessed by God, sit in the company of mockers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not just standing there now.
Yeah.
You're sitting. You're getting comfortable.
Getting comfortable, yeah.
what is God's word warning us against? Well, I think against close relationships with those who scoff at God and God's mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
I thought about the character Lot in the book of Genesis. He was kind of walking, and then he was standing, and next thing you knew, in Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked cities,
mm-hmm.
he was sitting in the gates. He was involved in the government of those places,
mm-hmm.
and kind of getting drawn more and more into it, and ended up losing his family
yeah.
as a result of that. So walking, standing, and finally sitting, the relationships are getting closer
mm-hmm.
and closer to the ones who do not follow God. And the influence on us is increasing as we more and more let down our guard. Mm-hmm. So we need to be very careful in exposing ourselves regularly to those who belittle, scoff at, or speak mm-hmm. in opposition to what is right, and to those who do what is right.
That's
and
right.
I think that involves the media that we choose as well, the media sources.
Yes.
And that's one good reason why we encourage you to be a listener to Missionary Radio.
Yes.
Because it keeps your mind focused on the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and you're not being led down this path and that.
That's it.
You have to choose what internet sites you go to with your phone.
Mm-hmm.
One writer used even stronger terms, warning us against getting comfortable with and sitting down with people described as blasphemers, infidels, and
mm-hmm.
atheists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of sitting down in the midst of that type of conversation, Psalm 1:1 would counsel us, stand up for the Lord and walk away if we want to be blessed by God. So instead of letting the world influence us, look what Romans 12:2 tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind,
mm-hmm.
that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is the J.B. Phillips paraphrase puts it?
Don't let the world around you squeeze you into your own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove and practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity.
Do you ever feel the squeeze of the world?
Well, sure. I think we all do.
The pull of our culture can be quite strong and persuasive, but we should let God and his word mold and shape
mm-hmm.
our thinking.
Yes.
And we must choose to follow the philosophy of, we must choose not to follow the philosophy of the ungodly, whether they might be our friends, co-workers, or even media in whatever form, but we choose to follow mm-hmm. God's way.
Mm-hmm.
The writer of Psalm 1, verse 2, suggests that we arm ourselves with the knowledge of the Word of God.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
The life that God blesses is a life or an individual who delights in God's law or in his instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put, delighting in God's word. When we were born again, one of the evidences that we long is that we long to hear from our Heavenly Father.
Absolutely.
And the way we hear from him is through his word.
Yes.
Ideally, we find delight in having our Heavenly Father speak to us and yes. direct our lives. And it poses the question to each of us, how is my spiritual appetite?
Mm-hmm.
Is it satisfied by hearing a sermon once a week, maybe supplemented by a Sunday school lesson or maybe a sermon now and then on a Christian radio station?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I relish and delight in reading and studying the Word on a regular basis, on my own, mm-hmm. several times a day? Psalm 1, verse 2 challenges us to meditate on God's word day and night.
Day and night.
Now, what does it mean to meditate on God's word day and night?
It means have your mind on it.
Some suggest we begin by memorizing
mm-hmm.
God's word.
Yes.
or posting a verse or two where we'll see it as we prepare ourselves to meet the day. You could put a verse on your bathroom mirror.
Yes.
Or your makeup mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And,
very
and
true.
You see that as you prepare to meet the day. And in fact, Book of James says that the word is like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
We look into God's word,
mm-hmm.
and usually we see some adjustments that we need to make.
Yes.
Looked in the mirror this morning, said, "Ooh, you need to shave.
Need to shave.
You need to run a comb through your hair."
Kind of like me. I was going to go get a haircut yesterday, but there was four people in line. I said, "Nope, not going to wait an hour to get a haircut."
So you looked in the mirror this morning, said,
"I said, man, I need a haircut."
Yeah. An old co-worker of mine, Don Griffey, used to talk about, he was our engineer for years and years, liked to use the phrase to ponder and perplex.
Okay.
That's meditating.
Okay.
Considering the Word of God constantly, to go over it in our minds, to mull over, what is the Word of God saying to me today?
Mm-hmm.
Look at its context, its implications, and how we might apply it so that we might please God more and more in the way we live. Meditate on God's Word. And look at how God's Word describes this person who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, nor stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of scornful mockers of God, but who instead delights in God's word, meditating on it day and night. Look at the description in Psalm 1, verse 3.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
It seems that God's word will be a constant stream of living water,
mm-hmm.
even in the dry seasons of our lives.
Yes.
We can be like a tree planted by the Lord, constantly nourished by the water of God's word and by his favor on our lives. And we find God's word to be a supply of strength and sustaining grace, as someone described it. To be a tree planted in the Lord's nourishment suggests strength
mm-hmm.
and endurance. We put down deep spiritual roots.
Yes.
And that enables us to be fruitful in due season for our leaves and for our leaves not to wither and to turn brown. But this tree isn't an evergreen tree,
mm-hmm.
always green and growing
mm-hmm.
in the Lord. We'll talk more about being like this tree.
Okay.
After Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope on Missionary Radio.
We can all agree that there are times when God brings things into our lives that just don't seem good. In fact, those things may even seem bad. Listen now to Johnny and prepare to be encouraged.
In fact, those things may even seem bad, very, very bad. Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and I know you'd agree. You might be a person of strong faith with a Bible college degree. This may be your ninth year of doing Bible study fellowship. And still, God will confuse you. There'll be moments when you simply do not understand what in the world is going on, and your theological knowledge of God will only take you so far. Like, for instance, when I broke my neck. Now, sure, I was a relatively new Christian, and I wanted a closer walk with the Lord. To be honest, I was having trouble breaking free of some sinful habits, and I really, really needed God's help. So shortly before high school graduation, I asked God to do something in my life, anything, just to draw me closer to Him. I wanted to know Him more. I wanted His help in making me more like Jesus. In short, I just wanted to be nearer to Christ. That is what I prayed in all sincerity. And then, not but a few weeks after graduation from high school, I went swimming, and I broke my neck. And suddenly, the God that I knew to be good had allowed something in my life that was not good, but seemed very, very bad. Bad like quadriplegic bad. Oh, sure, I knew Romans 8:28, and I knew Ephesians chapter 1, where God works out everything in conformity with His will for us. But total paralysis for the rest of my life? My biblical knowledge kept coming up short. Thankfully, though, I didn't turn away from God, but I turned toward Him even though I believed he was behind the whole mess. And because I turned to him eventually, I was able to see that real wisdom is resting in the one who holds all of my what-ifs and if-onlys in his loving hands. Real lasting peace, the kind of peace that does not rise and fall with circumstances, that peace is not to be found in picking apart your life until you understand all the pieces. You'll never understand it all because God keeps some of it shrouded in mystery. He does that for our own good and for his glory. I mean, let's just pretend, back when I was injured, that I really did have the ability to see things as I do now. My faith would have never grown. It never would have been tested, never been strengthened. God knows, he understands, and he's in control of what appears to be absolute chaos in your life. He is never surprised, he is never confused, he never worries or loses a night's sleep, and he never walks off the job to take a nap. It's just that sometimes his ways are not our ways. It's why Isaiah chapter 26 says, quote, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you." Friend, that's all we need to know when things look very, very bad. We need to trust that God is not bad, but simply dealing with us in a concealed and sometimes strangely mysterious way, always for reasons that are wise, good, and specific. You and I need to remind ourselves again and again of God's wise and loving control, not because it'll immediately make sense of things, but because it'll give you a stronger faith and a peaceful heart.
Don't forget to stop by johnnyradio.org today. There you'll find a treasure trove of Johnny's timeless inspiration, and all her radio programs point to God's goodness, even when things in your life look very, very bad.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
I am Brother Mark Fong, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Well, Psalm 1, where we're talking this morning, certainly talks about the value of the Word of God in our lives, and also certainly prayer. Mm-hmm. We fight on our knees. The person Amen. That reads God's Word and that prays, Psalm 1, verse 3 says, is like a tree planted by the streams of water who yes. yields its fruit in season, whose mm-hmm. leaf does not wither, and whatsoever they do prospers. So the tree is the righteous person. The water mm-hmm. that sustains our life is God's Word, mm-hmm. and we can yield fruit in season, according to verse 3. And that implies that in our lives there are times of planting, mm-hmm. there are times of growth, times yes. of harvest.
Yes.
Times of reaping, maybe even times of seeing God use us to make a difference in the lives of others and to lead them to Jesus. Heard a story about Rachel's grandmother's influence. Mm-hmm. Never got to meet Rachel's grandmother.
Sure.
But she was just asking a young man who was helping her at the house, was a neighbor, mm-hmm. and was asking him, said, well, have you ever thought about giving your heart to Jesus?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I have. She said, well, would you like to do it now? He said, yes, I would.
There you go.
And that made a difference. The gentleman just went into the presence of the Lord about a week ago, made a difference in his eternal destination, just as common as, have you given your heart to Jesus?
Yes.
And would you like to do it now?
Would you like to do it now? Hey.
What a blessing when you see God use us in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, recently I encountered a passage from Jeremiah 17 that sounds a whole lot like Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8.
But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green and has no worries in a year of drought. It never fails to bear fruit.
Whether we characterize it as delighting in the Word of God or trusting in the Lord, placing our confidence in Him, there's a sense in which God's grace and His Word sustains us, even when we're going through some dry seasons, mm-hmm. when God may seem distant. In verse 3 of Psalm 1, the last phrase we encounter is that when we are walking with the Lord, whatever we do prospers. Mm-hmm. Now, Brian, does that mean that we prosper financially from delighting in God and His will and in His Word?
No.
Well, God's blessing could include financial blessing.
It could include, yeah.
But it goes deeper than the prosperity gospel.
Deeper. Yeah.
We're talking about a spiritually enriched life, mm-hmm. The fullest life imaginable, walking with the Lord. David Jeremiah writes that those who are deeply planted in God's Word may not be wealthy, but they will be fruitful in God's work, mm-hmm. which is true prosperity. He refers us to Psalm 92, 12 through 14.
The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still stay fresh and green.
If we're righteous, we can always have an impact in God's work. We will mm-hmm. flourish and bear fruit. Psalm 92 says, even in our senior years.
Senior years.
So that's, you never outgrow being able to bear fruit for the Lord.
Right.
You never get too old. In contrast, Psalm 1 verse 4 returns to the wicked person, the one who chooses to live their life their own way, rejecting the Word of God.
The ungodly are not so, but are like a chaff, which is the winds. Let me try that again. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind drives away.
So, would you say, are the ungodly blessed?
No.
Not so.
Absolutely not.
Are they truly happy?
No.
Not so.
No.
Successful and fruitful.
Mm-mm.
Not so.
Not so.
The wicked are described as chaff, and that is the part of wheat which has no value unless mm-hmm. it is straw.
Yeah.
In Bible days and up until modern times, when wheat was harvested, it was very labor intensive.
Oh, yeah.
And it was brought to the threshing floor, crushed and thrown into the air where the heavier grain would settle onto the floor. Mm-hmm. And the chaff would be blown off by the wind.
Okay.
This week or very soon, if you've been in the country, you see that wheat.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting riper and riper.
Oh, yes.
When you see those combines harvesting the wheat, the useful wheat grain is kept in the bin or the hopper. Mm-hmm. And unloaded onto trucks to be taken to market to make mm-hmm. bread and to make those varieties of cereal that we enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the chaff would be the dust that comes out the back of that combine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either be used for straw or to fertilize the field just a bit. But the psalmist found no lasting value in the lives of the wicked, which he said are like chaff that the wind drives away. Their future is bleak, according to verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 1.
Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
So because the wicked have turned their backs on the ways of God in this life, they'll have no hope in the judgment of God that's coming. They will not be able to stand before the awesome judge of all, the Lord Almighty. Their lives and their deeds will be revealed once and for all, and they'll be removed from the presence of the godly forever. The way of the wicked, says verse 6, leads to destruction.
Yes.
But look at the contrast. Those who are righteous will be able to stand before God in the last day.
Mm-hmm.
We can do so because we have said yes to Jesus, and our sins are covered by his blood shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Max Lucado adds this insight. God has set before you two choices. If you want the Lord to protect you, provide for you, and to flourish you, why pursue the path that leads to judgment? Consider the path that you are now on. Are you weary, despairing? God wants to give you his peace. What changes, if any, do you need to make to get back on the right track, to walk in the path that God wants us to walk?